Richard, the other thing that I found fascinating, and I learned a lot about a problem I never knew existed until we started looking into it and found it was a big problem, is skin problems in pets, and particularly dogs. Because we've obviously had cats, we've never had any skin problems.
Yeah.
But with dogs, particularly dermatitis and all kinds of itch situations going on. And again, we can relate this to the microbiome and antibacterial products. And I know maybe this will be time to talk about diet and so on. But you were telling me about when dogs come into your practice.
Yeah, you know, we've sort of talked about, a paradigm shift in terms of how we, or say how I as a veterinary surgeon view a patient of mine, dog or cat, coming through my door to have a consultation. And obviously I can see that it's a dog or a cat. But what I can't see is the 20 trillion bacteria that are in or on that patient, largely because they are too small for me to see. But the moment I lose sight of the fact that actually this animal that has just walked through my door, and actually not just the animal, but the owner who's brought the animal, you know, there's two complete ecosystems occurring there. And we're not just talking about a few hundred bacteria, we're talking about trillions. Like in a dog, typical dog, it's about 20 trillion bacteria. In humans, it's 30 to 50 trillion bacteria that are in and on us at any one time. So unless we can actually see, metaphorically see, this microbiome that's come in with this pet, we're basically missing half the picture. So in the context of skin disease, if we could see microbes, we would see the dog and we would see this halo of bacteria around the dog, on his coat, between his fur, shafts of hair, in the pores of his skin, in his mouth, his ears. All over him, we would see this halo of microbes. So if this particular dog has got some kind of skin problem, the sort of thoughts I need to be having are, okay, what effect is this red, itchy, sore skin having on this dog's microbiome? Is the microbiome a disruption or an imbalance of this particular dog's microbiome, is that what's causing the problem? Or is the imbalance that is probably there a result of the problem? Because ultimately, if I want to solve the problem, I need to figure out what the root cause is. And, you know, sometimes it is just a disruption of that dog's normal microbiome. So for argument's sake, say a dog that's over-groomed or over-washed, with the wrong kind of shampoo, that's an antibacterial shampoo. Antibacterial shampoos are great, aren't they? No.
No.
But they're everywhere, you know. Everywhere you go to buy a dog shampoo, you'll see some of the ranges, ooh, antibacterial. Why would you do that? So, you know, that's just a simple example of how a disruption in that dog's normal microbiome affecting their skin might result in a breach of the biofilm, that's invisible biofilm that's over this dog, that has caused some pathogen that happens to be around to get in and start causing a problem. So that can be a problem with the microbiome that's led to the skin problem. But the reverse is also true, that if that dog, for instance, has an allergy, say a dietary allergy for argument's sake. So they're eating, say they've got a chicken allergy and they continue to be fed chicken. That causes an allergic reaction inside their body, which ultimately manifests as a hot, red, itchy skin. Mm. Just those changes will cause a disruption or a rebalancing of the microbiome on that dog's skin. So obviously the trick is to try and figure out which it is. And you know, when one goes through a diagnostic process to try to figure out what the underlying problem is so we can effectively treat it. But effectively treating it. So if, for instance, it is, say, a chicken allergy and we go through a diet trial and we find, yes, this this particular dog's allergic to chicken, so long as he has anything other than chicken, he should be fine. Once we've addressed the underlying problem, the next thing is, okay, so now how are we going to rebalance that microbiome that's gone on, that imbalance mm-hmm. that's occurred? Mm-hmm. And that's really when, in my view, as a clinician, the use of a probiotic really comes into its own, because it establishes a biofilm of commensal bacteria or friendly bacteria that I know are not going to exploit this red skin situation, mm-hmm. And will help to rebalance that dog's skin biome.
So what I'm hearing there is you're talking about like an inflammation in the skin and bad bacteria in the skin there, because the natural microbiome has gotten disrupted. That and the bad bacteria are causing this skin inflammation, and you're seeing an atopic dermatitis situation. So we're putting the probiotics on there to basically outcompete the bad guys.
Yeah.
And in doing that, or the way that they do that, is they're consuming the organic waste material, which is also a bioallergen in some cases. So it's the dust mite poo, it's the dead skin cells and so on. So it's enhancing proper hygiene, but without chemically wiping out the microbiome. So again, it's when we were talking before about when you use an antibacterial, the question we think should be, what happens next?
Yeah.
So we're taking care of the what happens next because we're putting the what happens next onto the skin. And the probiotics, they'll have a lifespan of maybe three days of working through their life. So we know for those few days, if you don't reapply, we have a microbiome, and we can just keep topping it up and topping it up until the problem goes away, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important always also to understand the fight that's going on there between the different bacteria that are there. You know, the commensals are the ones that should be there, and any pathogens that see an opportunity. Mm-hmm. They don't actually fight against each other. They fight for resources. Sure. So if the population of commensal bacteria, for whatever reason, is suboptimal, if it's been washed away, for argument's sake, by too much washing, or if there's more resources now, because in this particular dog's case, his skin is red, it's inflamed, it's producing more discharge, it's producing more scale, it's producing more sebum. Mm-hmm. This is all organic food that these bacterial populations feed on. So one way to unbalance the skin biome is to create a red skin, a red, inflamed, sore skin that might even be oozing, might be ulcerated, because then the amount of nutrients, organic nutrients available to the bacteria that are present there is amplified. So it's like a massive harvest time.
Yeah. And self-perpetuating almost. More bad bacteria, more inflammation, more food for bad bacteria.
Exactly. So, you know, part of picking that problem apart is trying to figure out why the skin's inflamed in the first place. You mentioned atopic dermatitis. That's a different type of allergy to food allergies, but it is an allergic reaction anyway. It's an allergic reaction to environmental factors like house dust or certain pollens or grasses or whatever. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it's an adverse systemic reaction to something that should be fairly innocuous. Like house dust, it's pretty harmless. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it's a systemic reaction which results in release of inflammatory chemicals in the body, which results in a whole host of different symptoms, not least of which will be a red, angry, sore, possibly oozy skin. So picking this kind of a problem apart does involve digging deep down into what's caused the skin to be like this in the first place. But part of the solution is, okay, so what are we now going to do about it? Yes, let's address the allergy, but we also need to address the imbalance in that particular individual's skin biome. And hopefully if we can reduce the inflammatory reaction, we can reduce the amount of nutrients available, organic nutrients available mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. these bacteria, but also helping to rebalance the bacterial populations themselves is an important thing. Okay. So not to use antibacterial shampoos and mm-hmm. antibiotics where that's possible, because that just wipes the floor again yeah. and creates another landscape in which resistant pathogenic bacteria can flourish. Yeah. But rather to use shampoos that will remove some of that organic material that's accumulated there by virtue of the red skin, red inflamed skin, by augmenting the numbers of normal commensal bacteria there with probiotic shampoos and sprays.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah, this is where we would jump in and say, yeah. Use a probiotic shampoo, of course, like the Luca.
Yeah.
But and it's interesting what you were saying there is that the dog's having this reaction that ends up in atopic dermatitis, but they're having a reaction to something else, root cause yet unknown, and you have to try and find what that is. And again, it seems to be a growing problem. So many dogs have this situation where you think, well, look, wolves wouldn't have survived all these.
Yeah.
I know they're not exactly the same species, but dogs wouldn't have developed, you know, Darwin would have taken care of them if they were that allergic to pollens or whatever.
And
yet we see this... We see this all so much at the moment. I mean, have you got any thoughts on why so many dogs are allergic?
Completely. And, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I would have said this is hot off the news press, but actually it's no longer hot off the news press. It's well established fact that an individual's microbiome establishes itself even before birth. You know, some of the very advanced laboratory techniques of looking at bacterial DNA and RNA. Recent research has shown that actually these researchers are picking up microbial RNA and DNA in fetuses before they're even born. We used to think that establishment of an individual's microbiome occurred from the moment of birth, mm-hmm. when they came through the birth canal, and in the case of puppies, were licked by their mothers and suckled and so on. So they essentially developed, their mother's bacteria then populated their skins and their gastrointestinal systems and so on. But actually, we're wrong with that. It seems that process is initiated even before birth. But it's a well-known fact, for instance, that children and puppies born by cesarean section have a much higher incidence of allergic disease. But not only that as well, a whole bunch of apparently unrelated conditions later on in life, like obesity, diabetes, high blood pressure, even cancers, IBD, allergic skin disease, inflammatory bowel disease, I said that, and other immune-mediated disorders like arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis. And you just think, what can be the connection? But researchers have established beyond any doubt for the last 10, 15, even more years, that there are strong links between the establishment of the microbiome at birth or just before and all of these diseases. Mm-hmm. So looping back to your question about allergies, you know, why is it so prevalent now? I can't help thinking that some of the blame anyway has got to be laid at the foot of all the cesareans we now do. And there are certain breeds that need cesareans because they are incapable of natural births. But we've just created an absolute monster of a problem. And I say we, that's the profession, have created a monster when it comes to this, because not only do we now have these breeds that struggle to live normally, but many of them are allergic to everything in sight.
Yeah.
So it's not something to be particularly proud of. But also, you know, what is again well established by science is the effect of a course of antibiotics on the microbiome, especially in youngsters, young humans or young animals, that actually a simple course of antibiotics in a in a baby that's less than one will have long-term effects for that baby's health, you know, way into their adulthood. So, and it seems that that's about disruption of the microbiome at an early life stage. And it's pretty amazing to think that that is, you know, that that actually is fact.
So we start the conversation here about specifically dog skin. We very, very quickly go to the microbiome, both in the gut from diet and directly on the skin from antibacterial treatments. We then follow disruption of the microbiome from, you say, some breeds. It's a whole other conversation. Some breeds that can't give birth naturally for the reasons. And the loss of a birth canal microbiome and the microbiome they already have and so on. And then you fast forward to more information that's come out more recently where they link child obesity with antibacterial cleaning products in the home. As well as asthma, which is much more established for quite a while, and other illnesses as well we won't go too far into. But when we talk particularly about the dog skin epidemic, for want of a better word, and we're focusing on, in whatever way we do it, disrupting the internal and external microbiomes. And we see a great interest with pet owners from a probiotic method of cleaning. So just like we talked about with the skin and ears and so on, cleaning of the home using a probiotic to outcompete the bad bacteria rather than wiping out the microbiome with an antibacterial, same approach. We find that the pet owners are switching onto this because their dog, unlike them, is lying naked on the kitchen floor they've cleaned with some product. Or is walking across the kitchen floor and sweating through the paws and then absorbing the chemicals through the paws or licking and so on. And there's reports going back again about 15 years, actually, about the amount of chemicals that we're finding in pet urine and pet blood when compared to the owners of the same pets. But the pets were ingesting more of those chemicals. And again, all coming back to this disruption of the microbiome.
Don't do it. don't do it. We really have to sort this out. And, you know, as I said, for me, it's a paradigm shift. We need to just stop thinking the way we have for the last two decades. Three centuries even. Because it's just ending us in more trouble.
Well, you know, I read an interesting report from, it was a paper from University College London in 2005, way before our product was even available, and the author was advocating, he was drawing a line between the rising levels of MRSA in hospitals and the extra cleaning in hospitals. Now we find MRSA in the dog bowl and we find C. difficile in the home, which used to only be in hospitals. So we find this rise of these super pathogens. But he was saying what we should do, instead of cleaning with antimicrobials, we should be washing our hands with soap and water and then using yogurt. That was the only known probiotic he could refer to back in 2005. Obviously, we've got a lot more available today. So for skin improvements, it's about looking at the diet, just encapsulating what you said, looking at the diet and looking at that microbiome and reestablishing it in a healthy level. Get those 20 trillion microbiome things going, and avoiding the use of antibacterials that are going to cause you disruption.
100%.
Brilliant. Superb. Thanks, Richard. That was just fascinating again. Thank you.
My pleasure, Joe.